Luke chapter 19, Jesus and Zacchaeus. Now Jesus entered and passed through the town of Jericho, and there was a man called Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the tax collectors, and he was rich. Now nobody liked the tax collectors, because the Romans were governing the Israelites, the Jews, and they were making them give them lots of tax, so much that people just didn't have enough food to eat. And the men who went round collecting the taxes, these tax collectors, were themselves Jews who had gone over to be on the side of the Romans. And they got rich by taking the money, part of it, keeping it for themselves. So he was rich, but he wasn't popular. And he wanted to see Jesus, and he couldn't because of the huge crowd. And he was very small. He might have been a dwarf. And he ran before in front of the crowd, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for Jesus was to pass by that way. Now, sycamore tree has got lots of branches and leaves, so he'd have thought, I'm so clever, I'll be hidden in the leaves, he won't be able to see me, and I will get a bird's eye view of this Jesus. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, quickly, come down. Today I have to stay at your house. Now in those days, who you ate with and in whose house you stayed was really significant because it meant that you accepted that person. And so if you stayed at the wrong person's house, people said, oh, that's bad, you're staying with him or her, if they're a bad person. And so Zacchaeus would have been amazed. He knew he was a sinner. And Jesus, this very righteous man, said, I want to stay at your house. Zacchaeus quickly came down and received Jesus with great joy into his house. And when the people saw it, they all murmured, saying that Jesus has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord Jesus, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken away anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore him four times. And Jesus said to him, This day has salvation come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So all the crowd are there saying, Tut, 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 Jesus is eating and staying in the house of a sinner. And yet they were actually the ones who were lost. And Jesus, when he looked up into the tree and saw Zacchaeus, he was seeking the lost. So Zacchaeus did repent. And Jesus said, Today's salvation has come to this house because he is a son of Abraham. So Abraham's seed, or children, or sons, are the ones who are going to be in God's kingdom. Because that was the promise, that Abraham would have many children, as many as the stars in the sky, and as many as the grains of sand on the seashore. And by being baptized, Paul says, we become the children of Abraham, and heirs according to the promise. Now, Jesus hadn't died and resurrected at this time, so people couldn't be baptized. But you could show that you were a true child of Abraham by your faith, having Abraham's faith and actions. And this man really believed like Abraham did. Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. In other words, he looked forward in faith to Jesus as his great descendant and believed in him. And this Zacchaeus had done the same. And as the people heard these things, he added and spoke a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would come immediately. So he said, There was a nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now this is clearly Jesus who went into the far country, that is into heaven, to receive a kingdom, and he's going to return. He called his 10 servants and gave them £10. That's not £10 as in British pounds, as in banknotes. Pounds as in weight of money. Because they used to weigh money and gold and silver by pounds. So he gives each servant 1 pound of, I guess, gold. And he said to them, trade with this until I come. So Jesus is with us, and yet in another sense, he's gone away. And he's left us with the initiative that he's given us his truth and his love and the knowledge of him and his word. And he said, look, it's over to you now. I'm going away. And that initiative that he has given us is a scary thing, because we would all far rather just go to church and be told you must touch your toes 10 times, then you must touch your nose 5 times, then you must give 2 euros, and then you can go home. Like, oh, great, sure, I did it. I'm going home. And that's why that kind of religion is very popular. Whereas the real relationship with God and with Jesus is a much more personal thing. It's not that you've got to go and do a ritual and pay money and light a candle and say something in Latin or Slavonic or whatever it is. Boo, 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 ba, 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 up, great, done, finished, go home. We have been given this great wealth and it is over to us. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to talk to somebody? Are we going to start a soup kitchen? Are we going to start some sort of club, maybe, where we work or at school, at reading the Bible, Christian Union, whatever it is? It is up to us because we're all in a different situation. Well, his citizens hated him and they sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And I think that that talks about the Jews rejecting Jesus as their king. You remember when they killed him, they said, we have no king but Caesar. And when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. He said to him, well, you good servant, because you've been faithful in a very little, you have authority over 10 cities. In other words, the reward was completely out of proportion to what they had done. That because you're given a bit of money and you used it wisely, you get 10 cities. That's way out of proportion. And he says, you've been faithful in a very little. That pound was very small amount relative to the reward that was given. So we mustn't think that, oh, you know, I know everything about God and the Bible. I've got this truth about everything. Because what has been revealed to us is, Jesus says, a very little. Now, what it quite means to have 10 cities to rule over, we don't know. But in Revelation, it says that we will be kings and priests and we will reign on the earth. So when Jesus comes back and establishes God's kingdom here on the earth, we will receive our reward, just like Israel, when they went through the Red Sea, they were baptized, Paul says. They went through the wilderness. And then when you come to the book of Joshua, you read of them being given cities. This tribe had 5 cities, this tribe had 10 cities or whatever. And each family was actually given their own area to live in. I think Jesus is alluding to that. So it may have a literal basis that we have certain areas of authority, that somebody will rule over this village or that little group. And the second came, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be also over 5 cities. The point is, we will reign on the earth. If you wonder who are we going to reign over, well, that is a difficult question. It could be the people who are alive when Jesus comes back. Or maybe this connects with the big question that I guess we've all struggled with or will do at some point. What about all those who have not heard? What about the billions of people who have lived and died and never heard the good news of Jesus Christ through no fault of their own? They lived in the jungle of South America 3,000 years ago. They didn't know anything. We don't know. We cannot say. But what we are left with is this question. We are going to be kings and priests and reign on the earth. Over whom shall we reign? You know, over animals? Over people from another planet? Well, I wonder about those who have not heard, because that for me is a moral and ethical problem. Not that I doubt God, but it's not a problem we can understand. But maybe it will have some resolution in that way. But again, the Bible doesn't say that. That is not made explicit. And another came and said, Lord, here's your pound. I kept it wrapped up in a handkerchief because I feared you, because you're a very hard man. You try to harvest what you didn't plant. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I'll judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a hard man and that I tried to harvest what I hadn't sowed. Why then didn't you put my money into the bank, that at my return I might have received my money with some interest? Now, Jesus is not a hard man, and he doesn't reap what he didn't sow. But he judges the man out of his own mouth. He says, okay, that's what you think. I will go with you and quote your words, if that's what you think of me. Why didn't you behave accordingly? And so, although there are different interpretations of God and of Jesus in the Bible, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter what you believe, but I think it is also true that we will be judged in accordance with how we have understood. If that's how you understand Jesus as a hard man, well, why didn't you act accordingly? And when he says you could have put my money into the bank and got some interest, under the law of Moses, it said that a Jew was not allowed to lend money to his brother for interest. But he could do so to a Gentile, a non-Jew. So I think what Jesus is saying is, he could be saying, well, I know it wouldn't have been the best thing for you to put your money in a bank. It would have been less than ideal, but you could have done, even if you'd done something. If you'd done at least something, even if it was even in a way breaking my law, okay. At least you did something, at least you tried. Or we could say that, well, Jews couldn't lend their money to Jews, but they could to Gentiles. So Jesus would then be saying, why didn't you at least give the wealth that I gave you, why didn't you lend it out to the Gentiles? Why didn't you give them a chance? Jesus said to those who stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. But they say to him, but Lord, he's already got 10 pounds. Jesus said, I tell you, that unto everyone who has shall be given, and for him who doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But those my enemies, who would not that I would reign over them, bring here and kill them before me. Now they are the citizens who hated Jesus and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. I just wonder a little bit when he says, but those my enemies who didn't want me to reign over them, bring them here and kill them. I wondered if it's those who are going to be condemned. But the man who had the one talent, who didn't use it as he should have done, well, all right, it will be taken from him and given to another man. But he's not actually going to be killed, condemned. Because there will be degrees of reward in the kingdom of God, just as there are degrees of sin. There are. I mean, under the law of Moses, they had to offer different types of sacrifice for different types of sin. And so I just wonder, as Paul says, one star shines more brightly than another, and we shall all shine as the stars. In the parable of the sower, the good ground, some of it brings forth 100-fold, some of it brings forth 30-fold, 50-fold, and so on. So different people will respond differently to God's truth. And that's important to bear in mind when we look at different people in the church and think, oh, well, it doesn't seem to mean much to him or to her, but you think, well, I can't judge. You know, they may all be saved because they have believed in Jesus and they're in Christ. But if you love Jesus, you won't be a minimalist. You won't think, what's the minimum I can get away with? You'll think, what's the maximum I can do for him who loved me and gave himself for me.